It ain't one time. We'll bring up what the Bible study is about. It's called The Fruits of the Spirit. And then I have a statement under that, the actions that negate sin. So we'll hold for a moment and not just move too fast on this. But when you think of the fruits of the Spirit, how many of us think, if I kept all of the fruits of the Spirit, if my actions were the fruits that are mentioned in Galatians 5, would that negate, would that cause me not to sin? Would that cause me not to sin? So I've named this the actions that negate sin. It could be called, probably better yet, the actions that cause us not to practice sin. Because there's no one that is going to actually, even though we try to keep all of the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, even though we try to be loving it all the time, there's going to be failure. But will we keep from practicing sin? So let's start here with a second slide. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, and I see where we can just, actually we can go to the whole slideshow, it'll come up, the whole area will come up, because that's hard to see. Can we make that a full screen? There we go. Maybe it won't stay there. Yeah, just go to the next slide down there, and then another, and then one more. It should come in. One more. Because it blanks out on us. There it is. That's the way it's done. PowerPoint is a little bit tough to work with sometimes. Anyway, so the second slide gives us Acts 2, verses 1 and 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So what we're taking a look at here is something that has to do with the Holy Spirit. So they are all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we do know in the Old Testament that they were not able to obey God's law because they did not have the heart to obey God's law. Did not have the heart. So with the Pentecost, the first thing that we read in Acts 2, if we went back a little bit, would be wait in Jerusalem because the promise is going to be sent to you in Jerusalem. And of course, the promise, as we know, would be the promise of the Holy Spirit. So we see they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Next slide tells us, and it'll be, to get to the next slide, it's always two. So here we go. I say then, this is Galatians 5, verse 16. So Holy Spirit is given, and we are told, and of course we know in the Bible, it's a little bit here and a little bit there. So I'm pulling together now as we walk in the Spirit, and we're going to take a look at what the fruit of that Spirit is. But it says, walk in the Spirit, and here's where I come up with a statement that will negate the sins of the flesh. We will not practice the sins of the flesh. Sometimes when we go through something, we miss what it's saying. But if you go to somewhere else in the Bible that's talking about that same Spirit that is given on Pentecost, you see that if we walk in that Spirit, then we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, so the problem of human beings is three things: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the three that catch us. Those are the three that Satan uses. He puts thoughts of lust in our mind. He is the one that is the most proud being that you could ever find. And so we realize that there's a way not to submit to the laws of the flesh or the desires, the lust of the flesh. There's a way of doing that. For it goes on to say, The flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. Just the opposite. So if they're the opposite, then you have the Spirit of God, and then the opposite, totally diametrically, 180 degrees opposite, would be the works of the flesh. Okay, the next slide, we have it up there, says walk in the Spirit. So we're just quoting what we just read. We walk in the Spirit, and we're taking a look at what we will not submit to, what we will not give into if we walk in the Spirit. So what we're taking a look at, and eventually we'll see, is we can take a look at the fruits of that Spirit, and we should be able to conclude that we are not going to have any of these problems that is on this slide here. You can go one more because it's going to come up with all of the details. The lust of the flesh equals, so it may take one more hit. So these are the ones that we don't want. And what we're looking at is if we keep the fruit of the Spirit, we won't have any of these. The question is, if I'm patient, if I'm not covetous, will I commit adultery? And the answer is, well, no, I won't. If I follow all of the definitions of the fruit of the Spirit, will I have any of these problems? Will I have hatred? And the answer is, no. How can you have hatred if you have, and we'll take a look at each one specifically, but these are the problems that we will not have. We won't have hatred. We won't have contention. And why do I say that? Because it says, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That specifically. We had to go somewhere else to find that because, again, the Bible is a little here and a little there. Will we have contentions or jealousies? Will we have outbursts of wrath? We can find, if we went on in Galatians 5, that those who have outbursts of wrath won't be in the kingdom of God if we have any of these problems. Now, why is that? Well, God gives me a city. I still haven't tempered my temper. I have still a temper when I am changed to spirit being. And so something really angers me with someone in this city, maybe a three or four people, and I just lose my temper. But we are so powerful that we don't realize how much damage we can do. And sometimes we don't think about that. We think of a spirit being, but we don't realize how much, if we exploded, what we could do. What did Satan the devil do when he got angry? What did he do when he became envious and jealous? Well, some say that there's a blank, I don't know if the new Weber, is it called, or whatever it's called anyway, the new telescope. I don't know if it proves this out, but some say looking up into the north skies, you see that there's nothing there. And some say that is because of the rebellion of Satan the devil. All of that was destroyed. Now, I don't know. That's just a speculation in the past. I don't think we ever proved it. But it is a statement that is possible because the rebellion of Satan the devil was massive. We can do a lot of damage. So we can't have outbursts of wrath. But if we walk in the Spirit, we won't have those. Selfish ambitions is up there. Murdering, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of course, a spirit being, I wouldn't think would be able to get drunk. I think elephants are big, but even they can get drunk. But a spirit being, I don't think, is going to have blood flowing. In fact, we know flesh and blood do not inherit the kingdom of God, so we won't have that blood. But here's all the problems that we will not have. Okay, let's go on to the next slide. We just come back then to the same one in Galatians 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because the two are contrary. When we walk in the Spirit, there's not going to be fulfilling lust. even if a thought came into our mind, we wouldn't fulfill it. We wouldn't want to fulfill it. There have been people that have smoked for years and they had trouble overcoming it, but they came to the point usually where they wouldn't be tempted to smoke at all. Probably most of us in this room are not tempted to, you know, be walking behind someone, they throw their butt on the ground and we pick it up and we want to take and smoke it. But individuals who've been addicted to smoking have done that. In fact, they will go back into the garbage can where they threw their pack of cigarettes, which I noticed yesterday was $6.85. I was tempted to buy a pack of cigarettes. I really wasn't. But I just noticed when I was filling the car with gas yesterday that one pack of cigarettes is $6.85. That would keep my mother from smoking, I know that. But it should keep us, back to the point, the addiction is so strong it doesn't matter how much you charge. People are going to buy that. But how many of us are tempted to smoke? I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'm just saying probably we're not. Well, that's the way it's going to be in when we have the Spirit of God and we practice obedience to God's law. We will not cater to any of these things. Cater to jealousy. Jealousy would be like, oh man, I'm not going to be jealous. Envy? No. I'm not going to be angry at something unless, I can be angry and not sin. We just won't be doing that because we're walking according to the Spirit. Okay, Romans 7 says pretty much the same thing. We'll go to the next slide here. And Romans 7, verse 15 and verse 23, pretty much says the same thing as Galatians 5, which says that you do not do the things that you wish. And in Romans 7 and verse 15 here, it says, what I will to do that I do not practice. But I see another law in my members, and it brings me into the captivity to the law of sin. Now, I bring this in here in this slide or in this presentation because there's something about following the fruit of the Spirit that talks about law. And we're going to take a look at that. There's two ways we can look at it, but it does talk about law. But with a law that is a law of sin, we can be captured by it or taken into captivity if we have that desire. But what takes away the desire is following or having, first of all, the Spirit of God and then walking according to that Spirit. So the next slide, how do we negate that law? Next slide. Against such, what? There is no law. Against such, there is no law. What is the such? Well, I think you know because the next slide is going to show, but Galatians 5:23 does tell that. Against such, there is no law. So let's go to the next slide on this, and we have Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Here is the such. Against such, there is no law. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, and love demonstrates itself as joy. Now, how many people have told you that there's a law against joy? Because that's what some say it means. And it can mean a couple of things, but it makes sense to ask the question, how many people have told you that there is a law against peace? It's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? There is a law against being peaceful. There is a law against being kind. There is a law against being gentle. And the answer is, it says against such there is no law. There is no law. And I look at this also since we see that you are in captivity to a law that Paul understood. There is a law that brings you into captivity, that pulls you down, that causes you to do those things that you don't want to do. So is there a Can we say it this way? Against such there is no law that will take you into captivity to sin. I think you could say it that way by the mere fact we see in Galatians that when I want to do something or when I desire to do or sin, let's say, that's contrary to what God wants me to do. But it's something that I feel like doing. That's what Galatians 5 is saying also, that we're looking at something and it's contrary what we really want to do, but there's that law that pulls us. We really don't want to do it, but we end up doing it. But would we be walking by the Spirit of God? And the answer is we wouldn't. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. And is there a law against self-control? I've never heard these things. I've heard somebody, I know the proverb says if you get up in the morning and you're somebody is grouchy, you don't want to be too happy around them. I think that's basically what it says. Here they get up, and I know Marion had a brother who got up and he was, excuse me, Don, if you're listening, I don't think he is, but he was grumpy in the morning. He was a teenager, and she's the big sister in the family. And do you want an egg, Don? So if she's really happy, it would probably turn you off. How many people have you seen they're just way too happy? I've seen people, it just seemed like, no, it's too much. But there's no law against the fruit of the Spirit. So again, this presentation is called The Fruit of the Spirit That Negates or Keeps Us from Practicing Sin. If we have these traits, if we're doing all of these things, joyful, peaceful, long-suffering. If you're suffering a long time, and you can suffer long enough, and you have self-control, because that's in there too, self-control, then are we going to sin? And the answer is, no, we're not. But we want to try to be like this. Here, this is the goal. These are from the Holy Spirit. So, next slide. Basically saying the same thing here. How do we negate that law against such, the fruit of the Spirit? There's no law to bring us into captivity to sin. And there's no law against any of the fruits of the Spirit. Not at all. Let's go ahead and go to the next one quickly. And we'll actually just show that it's there again. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So is there, I think we have it there, Galatians 5, 22, 23. Is there any law against the right, proper love? And when you stop to think of it, brethren, what is God like? Well, this is what God is like. God is joyful always. Now, he'll have his moments where he is angry, wrathful at sin, but God is a joyful God. Satan, the devil, is not. God is a God of peace. He wants peace all the time. Does he suffer with us? God does suffer with us. He doesn't jump on us. He is long-suffering. Is he kind? Is he good? Is he faithful? Has he ever, ever not fulfilled a promise that he gives us? The answer is no. He's totally 100% faithful. Is he gentle? Is he self-controlled? Does God have self-control? You know, if he didn't have self-control, the universe would be gone. I remember Mr. Meeker saying one time, God can think us out of existence. He can think us out of existence. So have you ever failed to exist? Well, maybe in your former life you did and God brought you back, but I don't think that's the way it was. So we take a look at this and we'll go through quickly. We won't take a lot of time, but for the next 2 hours we'll go through the fruit of the Spirit, for the next few minutes actually. Because my intent is not to go through the fruit of the Spirit and take every single one of them and expand to the limit. Each one is a sermon in itself. In fact, I know that Mr. Harvey has taken a look at some of these things, and probably all of us have from time to time, and just given a sermon on patience, for example. So here's some examples, and some of these are so close as far as gentleness, goodness, kindness. Those three that you look at, in fact, they're even interchanged in the Bible. When you take a look at the fruit of the Spirit, you don't find exactly the same list, because some of those words can be translated as gentleness or kindness or meekness or mildness. So we take a look at joy, and we get an idea now of when we are to be joyful. So I think the first one is on there. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So this is telling us why we would not sin. Can we have joy in a trial? And the answer is, yes, I can. I've had trials where certain trials were to kill me. I still remember when I had put a sprinkler system in back in Kansas City. And at the end, before winter comes, you know, you drain the system. So you put pressure on the line and it blows the water out, and you have about 7 heads that you work with at a time, maybe 5, but you have a section at a time. And so I was blowing out the water, and I had my head over. I was opening up a valve, and right next to that valve was the head, the sprinkler head. And I had my head pretty much right over it, and I had too much pressure, and it blew, and it caught me right here, put me right on my gluteus maximus. That's not the gluteus minimus, that's the maximus one. And it's like, what in the world happened? And then I felt my head, and it was bleeding. I personally think that there was an angel, because I was right over that head, thinking it was just going to squirt out a little water. And it would have caught me, could have put my eye out, could have killed me. And so it's like Marion hates blood. I'm all for blood if it's inside of me and stays in my veins. None of us like it outside, I know. So I snuck into the house, didn't say a thing, went into bathroom, got to bandages or whatever, and then went back out. But when I went back out, I thought, I'm going to do this again. I want to see how high that went. But I would not have my head over it. But when I saw it, it gave me joy that I wasn't killed. It gave me joy that now I know how to do it the next time. I could learn a lesson. I wasn't angry. Well, I was upset at myself for allowing myself to do that. But you can have joy in trial. Now, usually those trials are not the ones that really cause us problems as far as character problems. We did it to ourselves. We did something stupid. But when other people cause us a trial, that's a little different, right? God says we have joy in trial. How many of us in this room have been guilty of not being joyful in trial? I think probably all of us. I see a person in this room that ran a marathon. And at the end of a marathon, or if you're running a mile or 2 mile, there's a trial in the last few meters. If it's a marathon, there's a trial. It hurts. In fact, they call it hitting the wall at 21 miles for a lot of marathoners. You hit the wall because you just have nothing left. And I don't think that happened to Erica, hitting the wall. But still, I don't think she started crying, saying, I just hate this marathon. I think she said, probably, I'm going to do better next time. Probably something like that. I don't think she's training for one really soon, but a trial can be looked at with joy, where you're really not happy you're going through it, but you're joyful that you know you need it. With the trial, God is basically saying, be joyful. In fact, I use this term race because Acts 20:24 talks about running the race with joy. Are we running the spiritual race with joy? Well, sometimes we don't see the reason for the trial, and yet there's always a reason for a trial. Our character is going to be tested. Let's go on to peace. And we'll see here with peace in John 14 and verse 27. And I think you're going to have to hit that twice. I think I started with the bottom up, so you can put them. Maybe it's in there, right? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives you, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. When should we have peace? Our heart could be troubled, and yet we have peace. Neither let it be afraid. We could have fear, a fearful situation, and yet we're supposed to have peace. That's something good. Are we going to sin? Well, love casts out fear. So in these situations, we see that peace is going to keep us from being anxious. When we look at it that way, we know God is going to take us through the trial. We know He will. Peace tells us that He will. And we could go to the next statement. Daughter, be of good cheer, Luke 8, your faith has made you well. So is faith something that you see? And the answer is no. Faith is something where you don't see the end. So you're not seeing something, you're not seeing a good outcome. You have faith, and that gives you peace, even though it looks bad. And you can go to the Old Testament where some of those battles looked horrible. Long-suffering, I think long-suffering in the next slide is probably one of the easiest to understand, because suffering is suffering and long is long. You're suffering for a long time. If we suffer for a long time, are we going to lose our temper? The answer is no. Suffering, long-suffering, and self-control go together. But we can see, I think, as we go along here, how certainly if I suffer through a problem a long time, I am not going to sin. If it's short suffering, we lose our temper, we lose our cool, we say things that we shouldn't have said. That's what long suffering keeps us from doing. But it's one of those fruits of the Spirit. God is love, and so naturally, this is a way of showing love to our neighbor. We may not like what's happening, but we're going to suffer. And in the Colossians 1 and verse 11, I guess we have that on the bottom, notice long suffering with joy. Is that easy? And the answer is it's not easy, but this is what God expects of us, because God says, let us make man in our image, and that is the character image of God, which is love. And this is the way we're supposed to be. It's a narrow path. It is not easy. We don't have a wide berth. There's not a lot of flexibility. Like God says, well, I'll tell you what. If they just hit you once, long suffering. If they hit you twice, you can lose your temper. I would say if they hit you once, flee. Get out anyway. Don't stay around. Sometimes you can't. Jesus Christ was in a position where he had to suffer a long time. He couldn't help it. In other situations, he got away. Most of the situations, we want to get away. We don't want to stay around and just let people walk over us. But we have to be kind. Let's go to the next one here. We have to be kind and gentle. And some of these, like I said, seem to overlap. I looked this one up, and it's moral goodness or integrity. So you might say goodness, this word here, Romans 2:4. Goodness, it is also translated kindness. Do you despise the riches of God's goodness? Notice forbearance and long-suffering. God is long-suffering with us. That's part of his character. God is love. And he does swat us down. He doesn't have a piano over our head with a cable hooked to the piano ready to disconnect the cable and let it drop. I say that because I've seen cartoons where this person is saying, you know, everything happens to me, there's nothing good ever happening to me, and you have the piano about ready to drop on his head. And we can have that attitude too. No, we want to be like God, who suffers long. And then it says, not knowing that the goodness or kindness, gentleness of God, the reason that we could repent was because, well, just think of what we were like before we were converted. Just think of some of the things that we did. And God's like, when am I going to call Greg Sargent? We have him on the list. Let's wait a little bit. You know, he's in a state of mind. I don't know what is going on there. It's wisdom. I don't know how much God the Father and Jesus Christ talk together. We think in terms of human beings, but it's long suffering and goodness and kindness of God that led to our repentance. God could have gotten rid of us, and this is the way we have to be in the world tomorrow, because we're going to be working with a lot of carnal people. I think humble people who come out of the tribulation, but nevertheless, think of the second resurrection. And think of individuals that die in battle. Let's hope they come up without that spirit, and Satan is bound, so they won't have that spirit of warfare. But still, we have to understand, we have to have that gentleness, kindness, and goodness. What about goodness? Let's take a look at the next one. I myself am confident concerning you, brethren, this is Romans 15 and verse 14, that you are full of goodness. And I looked that up to see, because it kind of overlaps again, but it's uprightness of heart and life, goodness, kindness. And when I think upright of heart, I think of people who just seem to have a happy spirit all the time. I know a neighbor, in fact, he's in his 80s, not in the church, but he must have been born that way. He always has a smile on his face. He always laughs, never lets anything bother him. And he's not even in the church. But he was born that way, and some people are. No doubt he has other problems. But when I think of uprightness of heart, I think of a light spirit, a happy spirit. Let's go on to faithfulness here as we wrap it up. Faithfulness, it's one word, the P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis, and it's used for the faith of Christ. When you go to Galatians 2 and verse 16, you see we are justified by the faith of Christ. Even we believe in Christ. That's what we have to do. We believe. And in so believing, then we can have the faith of Christ. When we have the faith of Christ, what can we do? We can do everything Christ did. Having the faith of Christ all the time would keep us from practicing sin. Of course, he never sinned, but we have to have that faith of Christ. It said faithfulness, and that's not wrong to use that word faithfulness, because God is faithful and Christ is faithful in all that they do. Finally, we have the last two, meekness or mildness. And I looked it up. It says by implication, this is humility, because that word humility is not in the list that you find. But I like the word mildness. How many of us have a mild character? Not easy to be upset. We're just mild in nature. That's the way God wants us to be. It says, if you're dealing with somebody else's problem here in Galatians 6, are you going to come at them like, how could you do that? You need to repent right now. I would never do something like that. No, it's a mild spirit. You're tender and kind. That's not the environment in which we're raised. Most of us, well, some of us are, if we were raised in the church, a mild nature. A humble nature, and that's dealing with someone who breaks God's law. And finally, the last one is self-control. To knowledge, we have self-control. Self-control, the Bible usage, it says on the bottom here, the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions. Master your desires and passions. How many of us just let loose? We don't master anything. We have to control ourselves. How many of you have ever been able to control somebody else? I can't control my wife. She can't control me. But why should we want to control somebody else? We certainly want to help and edify others, but we always should think, you know, I need to look at myself. Is there something that I'm not controlling? I have to control the self. We like to control others because it's a lot easier to fail. We're not going to control others, but you see all of these things now and you take a look at them, and we could go to the last slide. I'll just put it up there because it's there. But basically, I went to 1 Corinthians 13, that in so many ways, different ways, says the same thing. But if we don't understand just reading the word, you can see what it says in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And I would recommend that. In fact, I'll share this PowerPoint with anybody. It's the Bible is something that, you know, it cost me a lot of money for AI to do this, except AI did not do it. But it's from the Bible, and if you want a copy of this, I can share it with you. That'd be no problem whatsoever. But I think all of us can take a look and see with the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit is love, and it's defined by what we went through today. That once we do what these actions basically tell us to do, to control ourselves, to be kind, to be good, to suffer long, when we do those things, we're not going to sin. Certainly, we're not going to practice sin. So I hope this is helpful as we begin the Feast of Pentecost, beginning tonight. Again, there's so many different subjects, and this is just one subject of breaking down what the word love is, what the Spirit of God does too. I have to do a lot better. I hope that Jesus Christ does not come tonight. I have a few things to work on, not just a few, but there's always a day that goes by where we can add maybe the same thing we added last week. But it helps us to understand why we have the Spirit of God. With that, we will praise God in another hymn, and then we will wrap up services.